Go to James 1. We're going to read a little bit. I want to work on your faith this morning. Amen. I believe God trying to do something in this place and for some of us. And you got to have some faith to get it all the way out. Amen. And you can shout all you want to. If you ain't got no faith, I'm going to show you some things ain't going to do nothing for you. Because faith got legs. Faith will track it down, catch it, and bring it back home. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of things that we've settled for in the church, I don't even know how people have done it. Because I got to have some proof. I ain't talking about, you know, you show me and then I believe it. But when I believe it, I expect for it to show. Amen, oh my. When I still put my faith out, like even like this morning, you know, the Lord, if you don't see me getting up giving, I already gave. I give before I come to church. When my foot hit the ground, India, I take my phone out and I give every Sunday, right? So this morning he challenged me to, because I'm believing for some stuff for my own self, right? Not for the church, for me, right? So everybody won't think everything the preacher believe for, he got to believe for the church. No, I got stuff I need to. I got stuff I want. Things I need to get done, right? And he just challenged me to give a certain amount. I was like, okay, right? So I'm probably not going to testify about it next week, not to y'all, because I don't want no line outside the door. But I know it's going to happen, right? And that's where you have to be. You have to be that kind of person. Are you in James? James 5:8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, that word going to be important as we go through this. He says, who he's supposed to ask? 1 James 5. If a person lacks wisdom, who they supposed to ask? All you have to do is open up your Bible. They can put the scripture up. I'm going to ask it again. If you ain't got no wisdom, who you supposed to ask? Knowing ain't the same as wisdom, right? People learn a lot of stuff in college. They ain't never used it. They don't even know how to apply it because they ain't got no wisdom. They could pass tests in the classroom, but they don't know how to apply it to their life. And the Bible is just like that. If you don't know how to apply it, you still get nothing. He says, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask how he's supposed to ask. How are you supposed to ask? How are you supposed to ask? Without no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the winds. Meaning that faith ain't supposed to toss you. I mean, not faith, but circumstances are not supposed to toss you around. All right? For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything. Now, you thought you got mad when I said it, but here it is again. That person should not expect to receive anything for the Lord because he's double-minded. Right? And double-minded looks like this. One day you think it's going to work. The next day you pouting about it. Believing for a harvest. 1 month you give. 3 months you skip. Because you double-minded. God say, I'm gonna save your marriage. You good for a couple of days until they start tripping. And then when they trip, you stop believing. Right? That person can't get nothing from God. I didn't say that. God said that. When he give you something and when you get a word, you stick with the word until the word manifests, because it will manifest. But if you up and down, God won't fool with that. I won't fool with people either. Like if a person, like there's somebody that borrows some money from it, I give thousands of dollars a year away. Not to the church. But they told me they was going to get my money back. Now, they didn't get my money back. It wasn't about the money. It's about not having the decency to do what they said they was going to do, or at least give me a call and a courtesy. So they can't borrow no more money until they get my money back, because they double-minded, because they'll take the money even though they got it and they have intent on giving it, but this look better, so they go do that. That's double-minded. It don't have no focus. So you got to, and it wasn't about the money. It's about not being up and down all the time, and life don't get a chance to dictate it. We're going to help you today. Amen. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let this be a life-changing word that would give your people what they need to get what they need at the next level. And Father God, I give you all praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. He also said, and they unstable. Tell somebody, it don't pay to be wishy-washy, because you're unstable. See, stability and faith go hand in hand. You have, when you come to God, the only way you come to God, you got to be, to please him, you got to come in faith, believing. And then you got to stay there. Now, you have to protect your faith from people, because the devil will use people to decipher you. And you be believing God, and they can see your circumstances, and they'll start telling you about their old sorry circumstance that's similar to yours. And you listen to that. The whole time is ciphering your faith, because you was trying to believe. You was up praying, you was confessing the word, you was finding it in the Bible, and then you let the devils bring some critter in to kind of just put this doubt in your head, and before you know it, you don't let it go. You get an idea. This is why you shouldn't always tell your ideas to people. My son out of state got a fabulous idea. I told him, don't tell nobody. I said, don't tell nobody. See, because sometimes you think people be trying to help you, and they be trying to confiscate your idea. I said, don't tell them. I said, you just, if you need, even if you need help on something, until you can legally bind somebody in a contract, you understand what I mean? Until you can legally bind them, I said, don't tell them what you're trying to do. You just extract what you need from them, because they'll confiscate, they'll hijack your idea. And before you know it, you're like, I told you that. Yeah, but you ain't got a patent and you ain't got this. You didn't do it. And they be done take your whole business name. They use the same name you was going to use, and they making money off of it. But God want us to be people of faith. He want us to be sound in our mind, sound in our thinking, and then he'll be able to really bless us the way he wants to bless us. Anybody want to be blessed? Go to Matthew 21. Look what Jesus says about this. Jesus got something to say about this. Are y'all interested in it? Jesus got a lot to say about it. Jesus said in Matthew 21, he says, and Jesus said, truly I say to you, if you have faith, and here it go again, and do not doubt. He said, if you got faith, Sister Sanders, and don't doubt. So I will not doubt God. Let me back up. You don't need no epiphany. You don't need no epiphany. You know, the truth of it is, you want to feel God's presence. I don't even know if you really want to see God. Not right now. Because really, that's the reason why nobody ever really saw him in the earth and lived. His presence, his face is overwhelming. Right? So you don't really need no serious visitations. Even sometimes God will do that. All you need to do is believe what he said. See, all you got to do is just believe what he said. That means that you read the Bible, you find out what God says. This is where you start, right? Let me help you. You don't start with somebody prophesying to you. And I'm not against that. That's not the best place to start, because what if they're wrong? And the Bible says they give you part. Many people prophesy in part. This is complete. Amen. This is complete. So we automatically go for the spiritual gift over the spirit. We go for the spiritual gifts that come from God rather than the spirit. Thy word is spirit. And when you take God's word, take him at his word, I believe that does something for God. I believe that God said, okay, they're going to believe me just about what I said. They said, my credibility is good. I know they're not going to let the word go. He says, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, maybe he had crushed the fig tree. He says, but even if you say to the mountain, mountains represent problems. Okay, so he's saying you can talk to problems. Ask your neighbor, say, when is the last time you talked to your problem? Because some of us ain't talked to our husband and wife in a few days. Say, when the last time you talked to your problem? Not cuss it out. Talk to it. Our relationship is getting better. I love you more today than I did yesterday. You talk to it. Not curse it because you want to keep it. But when the last time you talked to the problem? You can reshape the problem. That's the whole, one of the major things that faith does in this dimension is that it'll reshape a problem. Right? Like with God. God put me on the potter's wheel. What is he doing? Only he's doing that by faith, and he reshaped your little life. He give you a right mind, give you right thinking, give you a health back. He's reshaping you. And so he's telling us you can do that. Because I believe the whole time God is reshaping us, God is creative, and he uses words. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. When God wants to change you, he starts talking to you. He starts just dropping stuff. When God wants to bless you, he starts talking to you. He starts saying, do this. Do a little bit more. Give it to them. I don't like them. They don't like me. Give it to them. Yeah, that's the one I want you to give it to, because they've been praying, and I want you to be an answer, and you're going to open up dialogue with them because you want to have dialogue with me. And when you establish dialogue with the Father in heaven, he'll talk back to you, and God's words are creative, right? And it'll change your life. But if you got everything you need in this life, or if you're totally happy, you can talk yourself happy. So Christians shouldn't be depressed, because you can stand in the mirror and talk yourself happy. Girl, you sure got it going on. Girl, you know the Lord loves you. Girl, you know you the Lord's favorite. Do you know what the Lord getting ready to do for you? You can talk your own self happy. That's what Paul did. Go to go to 1 Corinthians. Because doubt, he says, let me finish that. He says, be taken up and thrown into the sea. He says, it'll happen. Shout that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He says, and whatsoever you ask in prayer. Right? This is why the devil don't want people praying. Do you know that you are under a demonic attack when you have no desire to pray? Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Some preacher? Yeah, but it really is come by hearing God. You under a demonic attack, an assault, when you don't have no desire to talk to God. And this is not sufficient. Will you pray for me? Yeah, after you pray for you. If you ain't going to invest in you, I'm not going to invest in you. You invest, tell somebody, invest in yourself first. Because why should anybody believe in you if you don't believe in you? You believe in you. Say, I believe in me. Touch yourself. Say, I believe in you. Now go to 1 Corinthians. Doubt is deadly. Truthfully, that's what the enemy comes at Christians to get. Watch this. He can make you sick like that. He can make you sick like that because you ain't never had no pain like that. And then somebody start talking about their symptoms. And you're like, I had that little hop of grass pain too. It hit me here. Then it hit down there. You ain't never had no pain. Now you don't let somebody hit you with the hop of grass pain. And then now it's over here. Ooh. Yeah, and I'd be waking up like that too. What is he doing? What is he doing? He putting doubt in you. He's getting you to, because you was confessing that you was healed. You was just talking about, you know, I'll never get sick. And now all of a sudden, you don't let somebody, you don't let him put it, because that's really his primary thing that he do to people. He tried to get them to question God, to doubt God, to not believe for anything, to not ask for anything. I don't ask God for anything because whatever I do for the Lord, I just do for the Lord. That's why you ain't got nothing, because you ain't never asked for nothing. Tell somebody, say, ask, ask, ask. Ain't no shortage of nothing in heaven. Ain't no shortage of nothing. But you want to stay out of the arena of doubt, 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, because God wants us to have his best. Amen? He wants you to have his best. He wants us to live in the best, to whatever the best is, that what your definition may be, he wants you to have it. He wants you to have the best health. He wants your mind to be regulated, all the time. Them some difficult people to deal with, because if their mind ain't regulated, you'll never know what you're getting from day to day. And they want to be your friend when they want to be your friend. But today they mad, not at you, but they don't want to be your friend. You go find somebody else to deal with, because I ain't dealing with you. Everything in the invisible can be made visible. Let's look at that. He says in verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Say, all things are mine. Health is yours. Healing is yours. I'm trying to help some people, because if you don't get some faith in, the devil gonna thump your head. Resources are mine. Ability to do beyond what I'm capable of is mine. Business is mine. Living holy is mine. Because you want to live holy, because none but the pure at heart going to see God. Right? All this stuff happens by faith. And much of what we've done is that we ain't trained people right. They run for it. Sometimes that happens for a person, but they're already in faith. They're running and giving them no faith. They're running because they got faith. I'm going to help you. That's why they're running. So when they touch them, they take off sprinting, because something has been said that's already bearing witness with them, and they just got to get it out. So it ain't the running that's doing it. That's their expression of it. Now, much of what we see, people don't get taught how to do it. So they just talk big. Faith has to have some legs to it. So if your back hurt and you believe in God, you done prayed, you done laid down, you woke up, first thing you should do when you get out of the bed is attempt to touch your toes. Mm-hmm. Run around the house. If I done prayed that my blood pressure go down, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make sure everything is GDG. And I'm not just going to keep confessing it. I'm going to go get plugged up to the machine. I want to see my proof. I want to look at what's my numbers. My number's down. Okay, God. Now I'm going to praise him again. But I'm not, all this big talk ain't doing nothing. And much of what I have seen is just a bunch of big talking with people. And now it's 15 years. Now it's 25 years. Sometimes, unless you Abraham, it shouldn't take you no 25 years. Now, God, so you can get that. You can get your breakthrough quicker than that. Let's look at it. He said, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, talking about Peter, or the world or life or death, the present or things to come. He said, they're yours. Watch this, verse 23. Why? Because you are Christ. So I belong to Jesus. And he belongs to God. Right? They won. He's God's. So all things are yours, what he's trying to say, invisible things and visible things are yours. If you see it in the realm of the spirit, if God starts getting you to imagine and see, because most of what we've done is that the devil has got people to use their imagination for like perverted things. But really, your imagination is really God trying to tap into you to show you what his creative ability can do through you. And you say, I'm not capable of this. He said, I know. But you are through me. He's trying to get you to believe beyond where you're at. You know, we ain't going to never get no better now in a relationship. He's trying to show, and he's showing you. He's showing you what he can do. But you won't believe for it. You go up there and you say, nah. Tell somebody, say, no, you can get it. You can get it. Try to put business in people. They so fear they're not going to eat. You got more froze chicken and pork chop and bologna in that deep freezer than anybody on your block. You're going to eat for at least 30 days. Why don't you just do what he tell you to do for 30 days? Say, all things are mine. The invisible is mine. Say, the invisible is mine. And the visible is mine. How do you access it? How do you access what you can't see? Naturally. Because faith is spiritual. It ain't just some random word. Faith is spiritual, and it can actually do things. When you get it like that point, you access it by faith. You got to believe that God, when you ask God something, that he sent it. You can't see it, but you know he sent it. You ever order something online and they gave you that little confirmation number and then it didn't show up? Right? And you call Amazon and Amazon say, what they tell y'all? They got your social security number. They know y'all by first name basis. What Amazon tell you when you ask them when he come? They say, I sent it. We sent it. And what happens? Sometimes the devil take it right off the doorstep. Or he'll create delay. But it was sent. Uh-huh. And if they tell you that they sent it, and if it's just delayed, you still got hope. You say, okay, it's delayed, but it's coming. Tell somebody, that's your word for delay. For today, it's delayed, but it's coming. Say, don't trip. Say, it's delayed, but it's coming. The Lord wants you to hold fast to your faith. Keep your faith in that thing. It's on the way. And so the invisible things, write this down. The invisible is only accessed by faith. Do you know you can pray and not be in faith? Okay, so if you're praying and you're not in faith, who are you talking to? Nobody. You can yell yourself. If you pray and you're not in faith when you pray, who are you talking to? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Because how do you come to God? In faith, believing. And that's what initiates and keep the dialogue coming. So he said that there are people that's stressed out about stuff that God done sent you and you ain't never received it. People are mad with God about jobs and healings because they never received it. Some family member, they never got that person healed, and they asked God, and God said it didn't happen because that was demonic interference that created the delay. And it's designed to break down your faith and to get you to stop believing in God. Tell somebody to say, don't stop believing. I know it's been a long time. I'm trying to help you today because God's trying to bust a move in your life. Say, don't stop believing. I don't care if it's for a person, for a healing, for some resources, for your marriage, whatever it is. The minute that you stop believing, you're part of the delay. Why? Because the minute that you ask, God sent it. Say, don't stop believing. Go to Revelations 5. God got all these things that he want to do because he can't do God. God can do anything. Can you believe beyond God's ability? Is it possible? Obviously, you can't. If you had to think about it, you already know that you can't believe beyond what God can actually do for you and willing to do for you. And again, sometimes God will bless people even in their imperfection sometimes because he's trying to stimulate something to get you going for the next time. You understand? And so you don't just quit and just give up. But Revelation had an interesting scripture in there. This is the easy version. It says, John in Revelation said, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voices of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands, he said. He said, they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Who was he talking about? Jesus. to receive power. Watch this. I like how this version reads. To receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. Now, they would all need their own day or week or year to talk about. But we're going to pick a couple, and I'm going to deal with stuff like, let's just deal with wealth. Why the Lamb need wealth in heaven? To give it to you. So if he got it and it's for you, that's the invisible realm. He said, all things are yours. If it's power, ability, if you need power and it's in heaven and you his, you can ask for it. You can tap the invisible, get it into the visible, and then start working what your daddy gave you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's all, say it's all mine. It's all mine. But if you're not asking in faith, not just asking, how are you supposed to ask? How you know you're in faith? How do you know when you're in faith? And then believing does what? I'm not lost for words. It has legs. If it's something that requires my intervention, then I start moving in that direction. It's action. If it's something that's beyond my ability and requires no action on my part, then I start praising. But either way, it requires me to do something. And in active faith, say that, in active faith, inactive faith is not in faith. It don't produce the same either. Literally, it produces nothing. How many know God wants you to have something, though? I say God wants you to have something. So he says some people are having hard times getting blessed. Watch this. Because he said you're running from the blessing. And if the devil delays it, you start doubting God sent it. Say, but God sent it. And he wants you to have it. And the whole time you doubting God because of the delay, the devil is laughing. Because he knows the longer you stay there, the easier it is for you to let go. Say, I'm not going to let go. He knows the longer you stay doubting God, like some things that people be like, ain't no help for and they can't do it. They not ever ask God. I know people who deal with issues in their life and they say, the doctor can't find nothing. I'm still dealing with it. The doctor can't hear me. They got me. They ain't never asked God. I'm scanning this room. That's some of you, you dealing with the same stuff. You ain't never asked God. You thought about it. Say, thinking ain't asking. They ain't never asked him in faith. Because he answers. And he got all this stored up stuff that he want to do for us. Like, if I need money, I'm not going to just be sitting around thinking about it. You got some money? Yeah. How much? I mean, no, there ain't no limit to what God got, though. You don't have to ask God how much he got. He can give you yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. He can do the same thing for healing. He can do the same thing for peace. People be sitting up fighting and cussing and carrying on in their house. And they say, you know, I need peace. They ain't never asked God to put peace in that house. Tell somebody, you should ask the Lord. You should ask the Lord. Tell them, say, thinking ain't asking. You should ask the Lord. He'll do it for you. He's willing and ready if you'll ask him. You should ask the Lord. Stop asking people. Stop talking to people about it. Tell somebody, say, I'm going to ask the Lord. So this morning, part of my assignment is to tell some people, the Lord is telling you to relax. Ooh-wee. Say relax 3 times. He says, I got everything you need. I got the ability to heal. I got money if you need money. I can restructure your life. I can restructure your mind, your marriage, whatever it is. Tell somebody, say, relax, relax, relax. Whatever you need, God's got it. Say, whatever I need, God's got it. I'm going to relax. See, because you can be right in the middle of the storm. Jesus was right in the middle of it. Relaxed, chillax, floating, everything going around him. Because he already know the Lord told him to go to the other side. He going. You getting ready to go to the other side. Relax. The devil want us stressed out and scared about stuff that you got the ability to do something about. You God's child. Am I talking to the right group up in here? Because some of y'all face still twisted. You God's child. What am I stressed about? We stress because we have not asked in faith. When you ask in faith, you just get relaxed. It's like God, he done put you on that sedative or something. I don't know what he did, but go to Daniel 10. You relax. You shouldn't be stressed and mad all the time. I know somebody, they're in their, me and my wife was talking about it, they're in their 70s now. The last, I bet you, we've been gone 35 years. At least 35 years since I've known them, they've been mad all the time. Do you think I'm kidding? When I say mad, see, pouting is an expression of being mad. This is what I told my wife was happening to him. I said, when you allow your emotions to train like your face and your body language, it's sending messages to your soul and your brain, whether you think so or not. Look this way, please. After a while, it takes on a nature of itself, and you don't have to practice it. It'll just become who you are. And ain't no faith in that. And they life has not gotten no better in 35. I'm talking about nothing. Not physically, not mentally, not from a family, not from an economic standpoint, nothing. Because they would not break that demonic pattern over them. They would not smile through hurt, smile through pain, laugh in the devil's faith. Because all things are mine. You might have took that devil, but I know I'm going to give it to as a sacrifice unto the Lord, because I know the Lord getting ready to do something over here. So you can go on and enjoy that over there, but they don't know how to reprogram themselves. So they just keep on going with it, and the devil say, and he'll keep talking to them, and look at that, and you should feel, and they just keep going with it. But faith smiles. I say faith expresses itself different. Faith gets happy just being happy. Ain't nothing happening, but I feel good in my soul. Ain't nothing going on in the house, but I feel good in my sanctified spirit. I'm just happy. Not crazy. I'm not going to let him steal faith from me. So I'm not going to let the devil take my faith. And delay don't cause me to lose my faith. Now watch this. You're in Daniel 10. It's time to start trusting God again. Just think for a minute. What are you working on that's been initiated by the Spirit for your personal life? If you ain't working on nothing, you're in bad shape. I'm not trying to put nobody down. I'm telling you, you are. You're not walking with God either. Because God is active. I'm trying to show you that sometimes people think they're in faith and they are not. I had somebody call me one time, gave me this long story and all this stuff that's going on. And I said, hey, sir, sometimes we think we're in faith and we're not. And the phone was quiet for a long time. Yeah, holy hush. Because he's hot. What does he want? He wants me to sympathize and patronize him, but I don't have no agenda. I mean, I really ain't even seen him in 10 years. We just talking on the phone, right? So you disturbed me. I didn't call you. You disturbed me. And the Lord told me what to tell you, that sometimes you think you're in faith and you ain't in faith at all. And he was ready to get off the phone. And he called back a few weeks later, and he applied faith in the area that he was supposed to. And he told me that he got mad, and then he got the thing that he was believing for, because sometimes people have to tell you that you think you're believing for something, but you ain't believing for nothing. And if you're not believing for something, you're in a bad kind of way. So I'm going to release my faith today. I don't care if it's over a broke toenail. I'm going to put it out there and see if God can do something about it by the morning time. I'm going to put my faith out there and see if he can fix this relationship or give me my money, whatever it is that you need. I don't know everybody's situation, but you can apply this across every spectrum. But if you ain't believing for nothing, you ain't doing nothing, you in bad shape, I guarantee you. Churches be in bad shape because they don't be believing for nothing. And faith is active. Mm-hmm. They don't be believing for no people, so they don't witness. They have all these confessions, right? It's a confession. And then they walk by people in Walmart. Or say the church ain't been the same. You know, COVID changed the church. COVID is a disease. COVID is a demon. How a demon gonna change the church? No, you sorry. You will not pray and ask God to put people in your path to witness to. You just sorry. And you can apply. How many know that you can apply faith on sorriness? Is sorriness a word? They just talk. I'm glad we in a church to just talk. I'm glad we got people that like to do things by faith and live by faith. How you going to live, IDF? To just live by? How you going to live, IDF? To just live by? How you going to live, IDF? To just live by? That's how you're going to get your healing. That's how you're going to get your little business off the ground. That's how you're going to get your marriage turned around. That's how you're going to get healed. That's how you're going to get your mind back. You know, you should be able to look at yourself sometime and say something is off. I command you to be straight. Because you're looking at your own eyes. You know who you are. You know who you are. Tell somebody, say, speak to yourself. You know when something is off in you. Use your faith on you. You always want to cast the demon out of somebody else, and that joker be riding all. He be riding you all over Colorado Springs. Say, speak to yourself. Want to show out? Want to act like you some big shot? Shada da 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 da. Sound like a machine gun. And you won't apply faith over your own self. You ain't never laid your own hands on your own self. And some people ain't got no power. They talk power. They ain't got no power. All they are is mouth, and all you got to do is monitor their life, and you ain't never seen God's creative ability, power, step in and do anything. But I'm telling you, you should get ready, because God want to do it for you. God want to do it through you. God want to do it for you. He want to do it for your family. He want to do it for this church. He want to do it for this community. He just looking for anybody that'll believe him. You can not only have one car dealership, you can have three or four of them. You know how many people in Colorado Springs? Millions of people. Cast your faith out there. See what you pull back. Cast it out there and get you some peace. See what you pull back. I won't mind to drop way down into the ocean and see if I can pull up some silver and some gold. And pull that thing on. And if you help me, I'll give you a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit because it ain't your anchor. Daniel 10. See, I got next. I mean, I've been believing for a whole bunch of people. I've been believing for some of y'all. No, I got next. We got next. Right? Some of you been getting your stuff because we've been believing for you. Right? So you should be thanking God that God gave you pastors that'll believe for you. But we got next. I say we believe for us right now. In Daniel 10, Daniel had been, let's just read it, Daniel 10 and verse 12. He tells Daniel, he says, He told Daniel, relax. The angel that came to Daniel, let's unpack it for a second. Daniel had been having these visits from the spirit realm. He couldn't understand them. And God had been showing him about things because the people had been in sin. But he's actually showing him that and then future things and angels and was coming to him. Don't believe everybody who tell you they've been having these visions. Let's just establish that. Because the things that they be saying God said to them, you can't find it nowhere in the Bible. So that's probably a demon who transformed himself into an angel light. If an angel light show up to you, you should be able to trace it to the Bible. If you can't trace it back to the Bible, bind it the next time it show up. Who will? People think they be seeing stuff. They do. Look at your neighbor real good and say, what you been seeing? What you tell me what you been seeing? If I can't find it in the Bible, we're going to cast some stuff out. But Daniel been having these dreams. He been having these visions. And these prophecies God been sending to him. So he's basically asking God to give him some form of understanding. And God sends him an angel by the name of Gabriel. And he tells Daniel, because Daniel is spazzing, because he's been praying for like 21 days. He continued, and he tells Daniel, he says, don't be afraid. He says, from the moment that you decided to humble yourself, I like this. The minute that you decide to humble yourself and receive understanding. Can I stop right there? This ain't messed up, but I really feel it to say. Sometime God be sending, he may not send you an angelic messenger that you think about, but he'll send you an angelic messenger. You're an angel. Revelation called the pastors the angels of the church. So you're looking for an invisible angel, and God give you a natural angel, but you won't listen to the natural angel, even though the natural angel has already talked to the invisible angel. Mm-hmm. And when you don't do that, when you hear a word of God, no matter if it make you say ouch or hallelujah, if you hear it and you won't receive it, what's the problem? That person's not humble. Man, I'm going to take my time. I see people, a lot of times, spirits on people are very calculated. So they know who to be silent around. Because somehow we attribute a person's not being able to read a person's expressions or them not talking with them being humble. That's because you don't live with them. Speak Holy Ghost. You don't live with them. But God be saying the real reason why they haven't been able to get it to manifest or they haven't received it, he said, because they're not humble. They ain't humble. And so he says that you got to think about this. Daniel is God's man. I'm gonna tell you how strong Daniel's prophetic gifts was. Daniel was writing revelations, and God, he was seeing that far out that God told him to stop and seal up the book and don't write no more. Because he was about to write John's book. That's you talking about. I ain't talking about this. My people, the Lord gonna bless you. No, he's seeing hundreds of years into the future, and God say, don't you write no more. Don't you write no more. And when you go back and you look at this, Daniel had to decide to receive understanding about what he's seeing.
Have you decided you're going to receive today, or are you just waiting to get home to eat some greens? I ain't talking about you. I got something at the house. I cooked me some too. But I just thought greens. But he says, and I set out to come to you. He says, and was delayed for 3 weeks, but then I had to send my war angel, Michael, to intervene for you. Let's unpack this. So he's praying for clarity. He's praying for what he's seeing in the spirit realm. And God sent an angel with a prophetic word to tell Daniel, I heard you the first time. Relax. Tell somebody to say, God heard you. Relax, relax, relax. Anybody been praying for anything in this place? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Don't lie if you ain't. You just ain't. But I just sense in my heart that there are people who've been asking God for things, and that's your prophetic word. Tell somebody, say, I'm going to relax. That's your word. God don't make it complicated. He just said, relax. Get yourself somewhere and sit down and close your mouth. The delay is not going to stop what God was doing. But it was delaying Daniel's stuff because this prince of Persia had got in. The prince of Persia is a demonic principality. And it was delaying his stuff, and the resistance was strong that God had to send, because Gabriel is a messenger. Man, there's so much revelation in this thing. Gabriel is a messenger. He's just speaking for God. I'm just the messenger. I'm just speaking for God. But if somebody start messing with the messenger, then God will send a war angel to stand up on their behalf. So I don't fight with people in the pews. I don't fight with people out there. When people start challenging and fighting with me, I already know what's about to happen next. God about to send a war angel to defend them. And you tell somebody, say, just relax, just relax, just relax. I don't want no trouble for you. So sometimes the devil sabotages your faith and interrupts your future with delays. But we're going to close the gap on time today. He'll use delays to sabotage your faith and your future. Do you know you got to win right now to get to that place? Even though God has showed it to you, you're never going to get there. You got to tell somebody, you got to win where you're at. You got to win. Whatever you're in, you got to win right now. If you're ever going to be a person that encourages and speak into people the way God has shown you, you got to overcome depression. He's not going to use you. You got to win where you at. And every time somebody say depression in church, you cannot get offended. You're never going to get there until you overcome this where you at. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Wherever you in right now, if your body is messing with you and you know you got something to do for God, you got to force your body by faith to come in compliance with your prophetic future, or you're going to die right there. You got to tell somebody, you got to win where you're at. You got to win. It's not, I'm going to take a small victory. I don't want to win one quarter. I want to win the game. I don't want to win two quarters. I want to win the game. I don't want to win three quarters and lose it in the last quarter. Tell somebody, you got to win. You got to win. You got to win where you're at. You know, oftentimes I've seen people try to escape a negative situation by moving to another state. They try to escape a negative situation by moving to another church. And the whole thing is this: if you cannot win where you're at, you're not going to win where you're going. Say, win where you're at. Say, if you can't win where you're at, you ain't going to win where you're going. But that's worth you coming to church for right there. You got to win right now. You got to win right now. You got to win in this relationship. You can't be anticipating some other one. You got to win right now. You only got one body. You got to win right now. You don't get another body. You get another body in the next life. But you got to say, I got to win right now. Don't let the devil sabotage your faith. You got to keep going. You got to keep believing. You got to keep pressing. Romans 17 talks about it, 1:17, that the just got to live by faith. You got to live by faith. If you a believer and you ain't living by God, you know, you ain't really even started to live yet. You know, it's interesting. A lot of time, like, faith comes by hearing. So you oftentimes see believers, any area that you find running rapid through a church, it's because that pastor ain't preaching on it. Right? So if all the people are broke economically, you don't need to be talking. You don't want to be talking about no deliverance. We broke. Got no money. Cast out the demon of poverty. I'm broke. You understand? And if he ain't preaching and telling people about the abundance of God, they stay broke. If you see sickness running through a church, ain't nobody talking about healing. And the devil is capitalizing on that because people in the pew swap stories. You sick? Yeah, I'm sick too. You know, and she talking about she was having this going on too. And they swap their little stories, and the whole time the devil is killing their faith. But if that man would, that woman would stand up and start talking about that God is the healer and healing is the children's bread, right? You understand what I'm saying? And that you can be healed by hearing the word of God. People faith come alive, and then they start putting it into the bodies get healed. But whatever you're not hearing, you can't believe God for. Why? Because it comes through the messenger initially to your hearing. Now, it's up to you whether you're going to be humble enough to believe what the messenger is saying to you, especially if you know it's something that you need. What should you be? You should be believing. You should be trying to put your faith on it. So faith is not passive. It's got to be engaging God every day. You should be writing some of this stuff down because y'all act like you know it and you know you ain't going online to listen. Because you know you ain't going. You ain't even got the Facebook page. You get off Facebook because me and co-pastor got on there. Because you know you found a platform that we don't know about because you're still doing dumb stuff. Well, if you just stayed on there, you ain't disciplined enough to be accountable to your own self. If you'd have just stayed on there, you could have been accountable to us. What's the new social media page? Huh? they don't want to tell me. They think I'm going to give me a page. Woo! They're doing crazy. Stop doing crazy stuff. Faith is not passive. Come on, let's keep going. It requires active engagement. Engaging what? You got to engage the word. If you're not reading, you behind. The truth of it is, if you don't read your Bible, you can't even stay in step with the Spirit when you come to church. That's why stuff just like be going over your head. Get in your Bible, read what you need to do, and then lift up your head, and the word will catch you. But if you ain't reading your Bible, you can't even engage the Spirit of God when you come to church. That's why I don't preach for shouts. Because it ain't that God ain't speaking. The people can't engage the word because they haven't engaged the word before they got here. So they can't even engage the Spirit. Ooh-wee. So you got to engage the word. Then you got to engage God in prayer. Then you got to have a willingness that when you done heard from God to step out in it. I've had things that God tried to get me to do, and as a developing saint, the truth of it is, I didn't do it. And then he brought the person back into. I mean, it's just a freak. You would call it a freak chance. We never should have bumped past again. And he set it up. Guess what I did, Brother Manny? Nothing. I ain't do it. I was intimidated. I didn't really know who I was. And I was looking at their stature and their position. And I couldn't believe that God wanted me to tell and do that. And then when God gives you a chance to do something, he opened a spiritual window. And if you go in, you get it done. If you don't, he close it. It's just a window. And where I missed it, because there's a blessing attached to obedience. Everything God tells you to do, and watch this, because some of you are not obedient, and you do it, he rewards you. It's your life. He's using your life. He did it with natural things. He used Peter's boat to hold a revival. Remember, he preaching off the boat, pushed the boat off. That's Peter's boat. Asked Peter to use the boat. Peter let him use the boat. He pushed back so he can get the acoustics from the thing, push his voice back further. They had this stuff before we had speakers. Throw his voice across the water so he can talk to thousands of people at one time. And then when he used Peter's boat, he told Peter, hey, Peter, thanks for letting me use your boat. Go over there where you've been fishing all night. You couldn't catch nothing. Throw your net over there. All the fish came up at the wrong time of the day. So many came up that he broke Peter's net. Peter had to call in other fishermen to help him catch his catch. Why? Because God used his life. And when you're obedient to God, God will bless you after he is done. You've done. He'll bless your life. But that it closed for me. And then he said, it's okay. I'll let somebody else do it. And that taught me to, when God tell me to do something, I don't let somebody else get my blessing. Say, I'm not going to let nobody else get my blessing. I have heard from heaven. Heaven know I'm willing. And after I've done the will of God, then I get the promise. Somebody get ready for your promise. Some people are pretty obedient in this place. Some of you are pretty obedient. Not necessarily to the man only, but you listen to God and you respond to it. And God gonna he gonna bless you. Go to Joshua 6 for your obedience. Amen. In Joshua 6, faith can. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't know what people be talking about. You're talking about giants in the faith. I'm a person who try to live by faith. Truth of this, it's always intrigued me. It's just always intrigued me. I like good preaching. I love good preaching. I mean, I'm talking about people hooping. I love that. But when I grew up, I really couldn't understand. And I'm not throwing shade at nobody, because I felt the Holy Ghost in my whole life, and I've been all over the world. I felt the Holy Ghost the strongest in some of them places. See, but I grew up with preachers that, Sister Watkins, they couldn't read. But they were filled with the Spirit. I knew preachers that they had, Sergeant Johnson, we had this conversation. He used to read the Bible. He couldn't read the Bible, but he had his son and his children read the Bible to him every day. It was just a different dispensation of preachers. But so watch this. Stuff got to be balanced. So they know how to tap into the realm of the Spirit, but not necessarily learn how to live by faith. And you can learn how to live by faith, but then you won't be sensitive to the Spirit. You got to have both of them. See, because if you're not sensitive to the Spirit, then when God tells you to move, you won't move out by faith because you're not being sensitive to what he say. Say they all work together. So, like, you don't want to think that you're in some great place but I was just drawn to this. And I think I was drawn to it because Jesus would say stuff like this. When I come back, will I find faith in the earth? He didn't say he would. Do you realize what's on the cusp of happening in this world? Stuff that people can get caught up in that literally can make people question their faith. Is this right for me? Is this right for the world? And some things you got to already have established in you, because circumstances should not kill your faith. What if somebody die that you've been praying for? Does that mean God can't heal? What if a marriage ends? Does that mean that it wasn't ordained by God? No, it don't. But sometimes when these things happen to us, or we believing for, we sow a lavish seed for, let's just say, our business, and then go bankrupt. Does that mean that what God said wasn't true? No. Does that mess with his ability somehow? No. Let me help some people. If you in a hard situation and you just cannot, and you suffer like great loss, turn your mourning into dancing. I'm going to tell you how. Whatever that is, you give it to God as a sacrifice. If it was a death, if it was a murder, I don't care what it is. Let's just use that. You say, okay, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to give it to you as a sacrifice. And God will take that sacrifice and turn it into a breakthrough for you. If what I have, if it's a seed, I've worked, I'm still in debt. Okay. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to steal from Peter to pay Paul, but I am going to take more from Peter and Paul to give to Jesus, because here's an offering. I ain't taking from God to get at these jokers, because I need something to turn around. So I do owe you, and I'm going to pay you. I'm going to give you this right now. I'm going to show you how to work it. How much I owe you? 500? I got 50. You still going to be behind this? It's going to hurt your credit. Do you want the $50 or not? Yeah, make the check out too. They're going to take that $50. And I'm taking this and I'm giving it to God. I'm trying to show you, whatever your pain is, turn it from mourning into dancing. And the way you do it is that whatever the pain is, give the pain to God. Cast it on him and he'll turn it around for you. Let's go to Joshua 6. I got to get out of here. My time is about up. But I want to give you just a little bit. Anybody in a tough situation, you just ready to get out? How many know healing is better than being sick? Abundance is better than being poor. I grew up poor. I didn't know it, but I was. And abundance is better. I think I captured the family spirit. Never got tainted, because again, he protected me from knowing it. But you take the same spirit when you was happy and you was poor, and you take the same spirit and you combine it with abundance, it's better. And I'm telling you, God want better for you. God got better for you. And you right up on it. Don't stop believing. There's so many things that can happen in ministry that if you don't, if you're not, if you, first of all, if you ain't heard from God, I ain't really had a, maybe I am, I'm a little slow with something. I think God shelters me from sometimes people's ignorance and hate and disdainment from me. Because God know you better than anybody on the planet. I shared this with my wife. Like, it really takes a lot for me, like, to turn on a person. Like they can do a whole bunch to me, and I don't know how. It's God. Say it's God three times. It's God's God. Sister Olivia, I'll keep on treating them the same. It don't really bother me. But I have to be careful, because if I ever turn, man, it's gonna take a miracle for me to turn back. No, I'm telling God the truth. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. And God protects me from doing that, because my makeup is just different. See, one of the things with the faith to help you do, faith will help you love your enemies. If you be loving them and you be doing it all by faith, it'll help you treat people right. Right? Because you're doing some of the acts initially, some of your love acts start off by faith. I'm helping somebody heal your marriage, whether you know it or not. When you're trying to heal a relationship or a marriage, a person could have hurt you and offended you so deep. And God is saying, I want you to love them. You don't want to love them, but you're obedient. So how are you going to love them? You're going to do it by faith until your change come. Tell somebody, say, do it by faith till your change come. That means every day you still want to pop them in the nose. Don't pop them in the nose. Fix them a plate of cereal. How are you going to do it? You're going to do it by faith, right? Because it's so fundamental that it gets walked on. And we're trying to climb to the highest and do all the hard stuff. And God say, you the just. How the just supposed to live? You the just. Right? So initially we start off just doing stuff by faith. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know how. We don't know when. We don't know where, but I do know God. And because I know God, I know he's going to work all things together for my good. And I'm the just, and the just going to live by. I don't know how it's going to turn out for you, but how or why or when or where it's going to turn. But at some point, it's going to turn for your good. Don't stop believing. Come on now. I don't know when you're going to get healed. I don't know when your money going to show up. All I know that God has heard you and he has sent it. Don't stop believing. Till your change come, till you get your help, don't stop believing. Keep your faith directed towards heaven, because he's told you all things are yours and he has sent it already. You just got to stay in faith. I dare about five people to jump up and give God a good praise by faith. Just give him a good praise. Just give him a good praise by faith. I'm hurting, but I'm praising. I'm a little sad in my spirit, but I'm leaping. I want to just scream out, but I'm going to turn it into a high praise. And this is by faith, God. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know you. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that it's all working together for my good. And until my Jericho walls come down, I'm just going to keep on shouting. I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to shout until the gates swing open and I can come on in. But I'm not going to let the devil stifle me. I'm not going to let him destroy my faith, destroy my walk, destroy my family, take my peace, take my joy. No, I'm going to keep on just shouting to the Lord. I'm going to run the devil out. Even if I can't get my breakthrough to manifest, I'm going to drive the devil. I'm going to run the devil out of my place. I'm going to run him out of my house. I'm going to run him out of my life. Whatever it takes for me to get it, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I got to do, that's what I'm going to do. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. We're going to get out of here in a second. You live by faith. Watch this. The job of the believer is to believe. The job of the believer is to believe. Believe, believer. You the one who profess salvation, believe. Don't let hard times put you in some type of stink. Believe. Tell three people you're a believer, you should be believing. Believe, believer. It's going to be all right. The Lord told me to tell you it's going to be all right. Believe, believer. That's what's going to happen. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get out of here. Hallelujah. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Everybody going through something. Everybody's dealing with something. You ain't special. Don't stop believing. Don't think your case is unique. It's not unique. Other people have went through the same thing and won. Turn to three people and tell them this. Say somebody is winning with the same cars you complaining about. Turn to somebody else and say somebody is winning with the same cars you complaining about. If they found a way to win, you can find a way to win. They're going to win. You're going to win. Hallelujah. You're going to win. All God wants you to do right now, really, just relax. Relax in God. You're going to be okay. Are you following? Hold on, sir. Just relax in God. Right? If you know you've heard and you believe what you heard, relax in God. Keep walking by faith. It's going to turn out for your good. As ugly as it is, the Lord is going to ensure that it turns out for your good. And he is taking the gap out, and he's closed the distance between many of you and your breakthrough, and you're right on top of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're right on top of it. Don't stop believing. Say that three times. I won't stop believing. Yeah. Keep your faith up. Lift your hands up towards the heavens. You're a believer. You got great faith. You got you're supposed to be believing. Right? Father God, even as we stretch out our hands and lift up our hearts up to you, I pray that the distance that's causing the delay be removed now. Whatever it is, whether it's a physical healing, whether it's financial, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's in their mind, wherever it's at, I don't know. Close the distance between them and their destiny breakthrough. And Satan, I bind you, whatever demon spirit has attached itself to it. Hey, some of you in wrong circles. Real soft. You in wrong circles. You in wrong circles. You in wrong circles through this. You're in wrong circles. You can't have five pastors. You're confused as a Rubik's Cube because you got your nose in other people's business and other people's churches. You're in wrong circles. And you need to get out of that somehow because it's tainting your spirit. It's tainting your spirit. The minute that you do, your spirit going to reset because you wouldn't like that. You wouldn't like that 6 months ago. My goodness. You wouldn't like that 6 months ago. You in the wrong circles. You in a circle that you ain't supposed to be in. And here's the thing about being in wrong circles. People know when you don't belong in it. And you wind up bringing up the tail end of the joke all the time because they say they know they weren't supposed to be in this circle. Get out of that circle. I don't even care if it's another church. You ain't supposed to be in that church. You ain't supposed to be in that other circle. And you wouldn't like, I'm telling you, go back 6 months. 6 months ago, you was not like this. Not untold you. You do whatever you want to do. But Father God, I pray as they would come out that you would close the gap. And there's a person, you're experimenting with alcohol and you've been free from alcohol for years. Don't do it. Alcohol carries spirits and it'll unlock some stuff in your life that'll make your head spin. Now, you want somebody speaking to your life and prophesy, I'm telling you right now, you have been fooling around with alcohol. You should not do that. Right? It'll open you up to some stuff that you thought was dead and it'll resurrect some stuff in your life that'll ruin your life, your marriage, and your career. You shouldn't do that. And Father God, as they would purge that you're yet closing. I'm telling you, he's closing the distance between you and your breakthrough. You got to get the junk out, the stuff that's affecting you from believing God. And Father God, as we stand in this place today, I pray right now, God, for quick turnarounds, for immediate release. I bind up any spiritual principalities. I close doors that you've opened or they've opened. I ask that you would forgive them and free them from all unrighteousness and ungodliness, God, and that you be good to them. You said in your word that the goodness of the Lord would also lead men to repentance. Let the goodness of the Lord, as you would be good to them, lead them to repentance, knowing that they are serving the right God, doing the right things in the right season. And Father God, I ask that you would let it rain. Whatever, let it rain. On their lives, on their hearts. Give them the sensitivity. Rain on this. Lift your hands up high. Some of you, your hearts are hard because you're not doing spiritual things. You're not doing spiritual things. And you know enough to keep coming to church, but you're just going through the motions. And I don't mean today. I mean this has been going on for months. You just going through the motions, right? But I pray right now that the Lord has sent forth moisture to your heart, to your spirit, and that he would thus saturate you again, that he'll saturate your heart and your spirit for great harvest to bud forth. And I command economic. Some of you got economic hardship in your life. That's coming to an end. Your faith has been moving the needle in heaven. Softly, your faith has been moving the needle in heaven. Keep doing what you're doing. Your faith has been moving the needle in heaven. And Father, for those that need economic release, I pray right now for opportunities. I pray right now for advancement. It's going to be one military person and it's a couple civilians. You're going to get an advancement. I pray for advance. It's going to be one military person. It's going to be a couple civilians. You're going to get advanced. But Father, I pray right now for it in the name of Jesus. And I give you the praise. I give you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give him a good hearty praise. Come on, give him a good praise.